Okay, good evening, everybody. I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos and a good Yontif. It's, of course, a very busy night, and I want to be sensitive to the needs of the community. Everybody's getting ready for Yontif. Certainly not my intention to be Matriach Letzibur this evening, but I did want to share a few thoughts on this Erev Zman Simchasenu, a time of great joy for us, but also a time for seriousness and speaking plainly about things that we are observing, not from the outside, but as we'll try to explain in a very immediate and direct way. I want to begin by expressing my Hakara Satov to each and every member of our Kehila. The seriousness and the vigilance since March has been absolutely unwavering, and I don't take it for granted. The minyanim that we've held outdoors with masks and distancing for such a beautiful and meaningful Yamim Noraim is a tribute to each and every one of you, and the responsibility that you feel towards each other and towards the community at large, and towards everybody that we interact with, as of course is appropriate. So it really is with a profound spirit of Hakara Satov to you that we begin. And that spirit of Hakara Satov extends in a very, very deep way to our physicians, to our shul medical community, to our extended medical community, to the joint medical committee of our day schools, that has worked so hard and so effectively and so selflessly without a remuneration or looking for any kind of compensation other than to protect the children of our community and all of the individuals who are in the building. Our physicians have served us beautifully. And it's with a profound sense of Hakara Satov to everything that they do for us, and for our children who are so happy to be able to go to school safely as they have been. And the thing that I hear more often from our community than anything else is from parents who are so delighted at their children being able to be in school safely and to receive the proper academic and social and emotional attention that they all deserve. And in addition to that, I'd like to thank all of my colleagues in the Rabbinical Council of Bergen County for continuing to operate as we have with unified voice, expressing the Torah values of Nishmartem Ode Nafshoseichem, to operate not on the basis of anything other than the best medical advice that our wonderful medical community really continues to provide us with. We don't take that for granted. We don't take each other for granted. And I speak with a very, very profound sense of gratitude to all the members of the Rabbinical Council of Bergen County. It's Erev Chag HaSukkos, and so it's certainly worth mentioning the very famous and celebrated Machlokas in the Gemara and Masechta Sukkah and Daf Yud Aleph regarding the very essence of this holiday. The Pasuk says, Basukos teshvu shivas yamim kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukos. Then on Sukkos, we all dwell for 7 days in the Sukkah, all the members of the house of Israel, kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukos, naman yedu darosechem, so that all of your generations should surely know, ki basukos hoshavti es b'nei Yisrael behotzi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim, that I caused the Jewish people to dwell in Sukkos when I took them out of the land of Egypt. And the truth of the matter is that some of the greatest Tanayim had a dispute what exactly Kiva Sukkos Hoshavti as B'nai Yisrael actually means. Rabbi Akiva said, Sukkos Mamish, the kinds of Sukkos that we have right now in our driveways, in our backyards. Huts, the Jewish people lived in huts, and that view is endorsed by a number of the Rishonim, by the Rashbam, it's endorsed by the Ibn Ezra, by some of the great Achronim, like the Nitziv. And then we have a view of Rabbi Kiva's Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, that Sukkos is actually a reference not to Sukkos Mamish, not to Hatz, but to the Anane Kavod, to the clouds of glory that protected the Jewish people from the elements, from external attack, from enemies, during their sojourn in the desert. The Ramban explains the reason that we need two holidays is that Pesach commemorates the Exodus. It takes place in the month of Nisan, the Makos, Makas Bechoros, Kriyas Yamsuf. But then we need another holiday to celebrate and to commemorate what the Ramban refers to as the Nes HaKayam, that for 40 years in the desert, God provided for us the Man, the Be'er, the Anone Kavod. And so that is a different tradition, and in fact it is the more prevalent tradition. It's endorsed by Targum Unklus, by Rashi, as I mentioned, by the Ramban, and even by the Tur himself. And the Bach, Rav Yoel Sirkis, one of the primary halachic commentaries on the Tur, wonders why it is that the Tur, which is usually a safer halacha, why does he need to be Machnes Rosho? Why does he need to get involved in this machlokes about whether it's Sukkos Mamish, actual hunts, or Anane Kahatz, or Anane Kavod? So the Bach has a marvelous chiddush where he reminds us, he says, the Pasuk says, Basukos teshu shivas yamim kol ezrach v'Yisrael yeshu basukos l'ma'an yedu daroseichem, so that all of your generations will know ki basukos hoshavti es b'nei Yisrael. So the Bach says that normally we might say mitzvos einan tzrichos kavana. Normally we might say that we don't really need to know why we're doing a mitzvah to fulfill the obligation. We don't really need to know why, for example, we're putting up a mezuzah. If we put up a mezuzah and it's kosher, we fulfill the mitzvah. But when it comes to mitzvah like the mitzvah of sukkah, and perhaps a few others, since the Torah says, lema'an yedu daroseichem, that you have to know, so the Bach explains, that's why this machlokes is so important, that which kind of sukkos word actually factors in to our ability to perform the mitzvah, l'kayim es ha-mitzvah, Ketikuna. But if we think about this machlokas in a deeper way, we'll understand that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer weren't just debating a historical fact, but they actually were relating to two very different ideas. The notion of Sukkos Mamish relates to the idea of each and every Jewish family. Each Jewish family had its own domicile, had its own place of residence, and they were protected in the Midbar. The Pasuk says in Parshas Balak, Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkenosecha Yisrael, Chazal tell us that the Psachim were Eina Mechuvanim Zeh Keneged Zeh. There was a privacy, there was a tznius, there was a Rishus HaYachid. Each and every family had its own domicile, had its own residence, and that's what Sukkos Mamish represent. The Anane Kavod, of course, didn't surround each family, but the Anane Kavod of Rabbi Eliezer, in fact, surrounded the entire Jewish people. The entire Jewish people were protected and they were ensconced by these clouds of glory as one cohesive, singular unit. And that is another element that we need to keep in mind at this time. The entire Jewish people. And yet there's a third meaning to the term sukkah that we find in Chazal, and it's particularly prominent during this holiday, and that is, of course, the Beis HaMikdash. We'll say in the benching, HaRachaman Hu Yakim Lanu, Es Sukkas David HaNofales. During the Hoshanos, which we'll do safely and distanced, during the Hoshanos, we'll refer to the Beis HaMikdash as Sukkas Shalem. It is a place where Hashem communes not only with the Jewish people, but in the vision of the Navi Yeshayahu that we've been saying since the beginning of Slichos, Ki beisi beis tefilah yikarei l'chol ha'amim. It relates to the idea of our responsibility and our connection, not only the Sukkos Mamish to our families, not only the Anane Kavod to the Jewish people, but it relates to our sense of responsibility to the entire world. In the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, which says, Hispalel b'shlomo shel malchus, that we should be concerned about the government, Rashi explains that a Jew is always concerned about the world. And he points as a raya, as a proof, to the holiday of Sukkot. He says, how many parim do we offer on the holiday of Sukkot? How many cows were offered at the Beis HaMikdash? 70. Keneged umos ha'olam. It was our way of ensuring that all the nations of the world would be protected. Bachag nidonin al hamayim. The entire world is judged for rain. It's essential to people's welfare. If there's drought, there's famine, there's death, there's starvation, there is depletion of the economy. And so Sukkos is a time that, yes, we worry about the Sukkos mamish. We worry about our families. Yes, it's a time when we think about the Anane Kavod, which surrounded the entire Jewish people. We have to be concerned about the Jewish community. But it's equally a time when we're concerned, Sukkos, David Hanufales, about the Beis HaMikdash and what the Beis HaMikdash represented, and in particular what the Beis HaMikdash represented during Chag HaSukkos, which was a concern for the entire world. In fact, the Haftorah that we'll read on the very first day of Sukkos describes from the Navi Zechariah the obligation in Acharis HaYamim that all of the nations of the earth are going to come to make Aliyah L'Regel, to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem of their very own, because we have a concern, we have a sense of obligation for the welfare of all Tzelem Elokim around us, all human beings, and Chaviv Adam, Shenivra, B'Tzelem Elokim, how precious is each and every person is created in the image of God. And it's with that triple awareness, the Sukkos Mamish, the safety of our families, the Anane Kavo, the safety of our communities and the Jewish people, but also the Sukkah Shalem, the Beis HaMikdash, Ki Beisi Beis Tzefila Yikari L'chol HaAmim, a sense of concern, a sense of responsibility to the entire world that we have to discuss in a direct and candid manner some very alarming, very disturbing trends that we are seeing both in the United States of America, in particular in the metropolitan area, as well as in the Jewish state in the land of Israel, which currently has the highest per capita infection rate of coronavirus in the world by a multiple, not even close. And unfortunately, at this point in time, a death rate that has even surpassed per capita that of the United States of America. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, in the very first set of halachos, in the Mishneh Torah, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. The entire Jewish people, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. We are commanded to sanctify the name of God. And it's noteworthy that the Rambam starts out with this expression of Kol Beis Yisrael. It only appears three times in the Chumash. It's an expression that only appears three times in all of the Yad HaChazaka and the Mishneh Torah. It connotes a national mitzvah. We do it not only as individuals, but we do it as an entire Jewish people. Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. And so, while it's easy to point to our left and to our right and to say it's not us, it's them, the reality is that it's us. We're all judged together on this point. And you can absolutely be certain that that's the way that the world sees it. The world does not say it's the ultra-Orthodox, it's not the modern Orthodox, or not the centrist Orthodox. If you think that, and we are deeply, deeply mistaken. We all bear responsibility when it comes to the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. So the Rambam says, Ketzad, what is the definition of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? So you might think the Rambam would begin his discussion by saying, you know, when a situation comes up and a Jew is called upon to either preserve his or her life or commit an act of idolatry or sexual immorality or an act of murder, that he has to lay down his life. Well, the Rambam will get to that later. But the Rambam says, you know what the first and primary way that we're Mekadesh Shem Shamayim is? That if somebody comes up to us and tells us to violate any regular mitzvah in the Torah, that we quote-unquote violate that mitzvah, because the pasuk says, "Asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chai bohem." Because to choose life and to be vigilant about our lives and to be careful about the lives of those around us is the essential definition of Kiddush Hashem. The primary way that we sanctify God's name in this world is by willing to live as He gave us life. We sanctify Him by consecrating the life that He chose to give us. And if we denigrate that privilege, if we desecrate the sanctity of that gift of life by being unmindful or non-vigilant about it, especially under pandemic conditions, there can be no greater Chilul Hashem. Regarding the Pasuk, Asher Yasa Osam Adam V'chai Bahem, that we read in the Kriyas HaTorah of Mincha of Yom Kippur, it should be very fresh in our minds. The Rambam refers to it in Hilchos Shabbos as well. And the Rambam says there that if there is even a Safek, not a Vadai, even a Safek, even an uncertainty regarding somebody's life on Shabbos, we have to act, and we have to act immediately. Aser lehismameya, one cannot delay. The Rambam, on the basis of the Talmud Yerushalmi, where the Talmud Yerushalmi says that if a rabbi is leading a community and he has people asking shailas, am I allowed to violate Shabbos if somebody's life is in danger? That rabbi is a failure, because that rabbi has failed in his most basic responsibility to inculcate a zehirus, a vigilance, a sense of absolute care for all human life in his community. And the Rambam says, again, it's all rooted in the Pasuk, Asher Yasa Osam Adam V'chai Bahem. And then the Rambam goes on to say something extraordinary. Ve'elu haminim, and those heretics who would argue that in fact it's Chilul Shabbos, that it's a desecration of Shabbos, instead of recognizing that it's exactly what Hashem demands from us under those conditions where somebody's life would be in danger, or there even be an uncertainty surrounding somebody's life. Elu haminim sh'omrim shezeh Chilul Shabbos, aleihem ha'kasuv omer, gam ani nasati lahem chukim lo tovim, u'mishpatim lo yichyu bahem. It is a distortion of the entire Torah, says the Rambam. Ein darchei ha'Torah nekama ba'olam, God does not desire death. Ela rachamim v'chesed v'shalom ba'olam. And that's exactly why the Rambam says that in those situations, we shouldn't ask Gentiles to violate Shabbos. We shouldn't ask people who have a lower level of Torah education. On the contrary, we should seek out Gedola Yisrael v'chachameihem. We should seek out the leading lights of the community to make it absolutely clear that this is exactly what Hashem would want in this situation, even when something as serious as Shabbos, which is an Isser Skila, is at stake, because Ein Davar She'omed Bifnei Pikoach Nefesh, that nothing can come in the way of vigilance regarding human life. And so, as Torah Jews, our sense of both Kiddush Hashem and V'chai Bahem, vigilance for life, are our two most basic and visceral points of departure for our worldview. And when we see that the largest Orthodox community in the state of New Jersey is accounting for roughly 20% of new cases over the last week, and that the governor is going to have to go to that township in Ocean County tomorrow, and there's a positivity rate of 27% relative to the statewide positivity rate of 3%, we're deeply, deeply troubled. We thank all of the wonderful doctors in the community, in the Lakewood community, who have spoken out. The Igud HaRabbanim in Lakewood has issued strong letter after strong letter, but one does not get to a positivity rate of 27% without a disregard for both of the sacred principles that we discussed already. Kiddush Hashem and a sense of vigilance, Asher Yasa Osam Ha'adam V'chai Bohem. As has been widely reported, the 6 neighborhoods in New York City with the highest positivity rate and the greatest amount of new cases are predominantly Orthodox neighborhoods. The same thing is true in Nassau County. And we don't approach it from an us versus them, but as I say, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh, that it reflects on us, it is us, it's part of us, and we have a responsibility to acknowledge it, and we have a responsibility to address it. The Gemara in Masechta Brachos lays down a principle, Ein Chachma Vein Eitza Vein Tivuna Leneged Hashem B'makom Chil Hashem Ein Cholken Kavod Arav. When God's honor is at stake, the honor of any human being, fear of any human repercussion, cannot stand in the way of the need to address it. The Gemara in Masechta Gittin famously, in the story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, that Chazal attributed the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash to, notes that when Bar Kamtza was being humiliated and ejected from that particular meal, and he decided to seek his vengeance against the Jewish people, he made note of the following, Ho'il v'havu yasvi rabbanan, the rabbis were there, v'lo michubei, but they didn't say anything, they didn't speak out, shma mina kanichalehu, it must be that the rabbis approve. And certainly I'm not the only one who has spoken out, but each person in a position of rabbinical authority certainly has an obligation to do so. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos tells us on this topic of macha'a, of objecting when sacred Torah principles are being trampled and violated, when we're not showing proper concern for our sukkos mamish, for our own families, for the anane kavod, for the Jewish community, and for sukkas David, ki beisi beis tefila yikare l'chol ha'amim, for people all around us from every walk of life, knowing how transmissible and virulent this virus can be. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos says, Mi sheyachol limchol ba'anshei beiso, somebody who can influence his own household, v'lo micha, but he doesn't object, nispas al anshei beiso, he's held responsible for his household. Yachol limchos ba'anshei iro, he can have an influence in his town, and he doesn't raise his voice, nitpas ba'anshei iro, it's his sin. Yachol limchos b'chol ha'olam kulo, if he has an even greater reach, if he has even greater impact, if his voice carries that much more weight, then he's nispas ba'avon kol ha'olam kulo, then he is accountable for the sin of the entire world. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in Perek Dalet tells us that there are 24 things that get in the way of the tshuva, and the first category the Rambam says is the worst, as avonos gedolos, terrible sins, ein maspikin biyado lasos tshuva, where Hashem does not even afford us the opportunity to do tshuva. And on that short list of four sins, the Rambam includes somebody who does not speak out, who might have otherwise had an influence over his household, over his community, over his people, whatever the extent of that reach could possibly be. So why is it, we might ask ourselves, that some people are not speaking out, if it's so obvious? And I think here, there are points of clarification that really do need to be made. Sometimes what we hear is that it's sinas chinam, that to speak out when we see things going on in the Jewish community that have no place, that it's an attack, a fraternal attack, and we should know that if that's the motivation, if it's motivated by a hatred for fellow Jew, then the criticism is legitimate. But the truth of the matter is, as we said before, it's not us versus them, it's all of us. And the legitimate and necessary place for tochacha to come from is not a place of sinah, but on the contrary, a place of ahava, a sense of love, a sense of ach atzmi uvisari ata, a sense of that this is our family. They might dress a little bit differently, they might have differing views than us on certain other issues, but that's not relevant to tonight's discussion. What is relevant is that we are all part of Kol Beis Yisrael, and Kol Beis Yisrael mitzuvin al kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh, v'shalo l'chalalo. And on the contrary, when one starts from that point of departure, not of fraternal strife, but of deep care and concern, so the Torah tells us, what is the source for tochacha, for remonstrating with a fellow Jew? The pasuk begins, lo sisna es achicha bilvavecha. Rather, hocheach tochiach es amisacha. Do not allow ill feelings to build up in your heart, but rather express them because one is concerned from a place of love. And hopefully, as Rashi says in Parshas Toldos, HaTochacha mevia lidei shalom, when Tochacha is given for the right reasons, from the right sentiments, that it only leads to good outcomes. And on the contrary, instead of generating sinna, as the Pasuk in Mishle says, the result ought to be ahava. Pasuk says, Al tochach leitz, a foolish person, don't bother giving them tochacha, pen yisna'eka, they won't appreciate it. But hochach lechacha mevayehaveka. But if you remonstrate with the chacham, and we are part of a nation that the Torah describes, am chacham v'navon hagoy hagadol hazeh, hochach lechacham vayehaveka. It is the opposite of sinas chinam. In fact, the Rambam, when he discusses the obligation of giving tochacha, he uses an expression that he only uses once in all of his literature. The Rambam says something absolutely remarkable. Hishatzivanu lehochiach achote. We have to remonstrate with sinners. O misha yirtzalachto, or somebody who desires to sin. Vilimnoa oso mimenu. And to prevent them from engaging in this irresponsible behavior. B'mamar hatochacha. Ve'ein roi sheyomar, and nobody should say, achar shani lo echta, if I'm not the one sinning, if I'm not being careful, if I'm being careful, if I'm not the one who's doing it, so live and let live, let's be good libertarians. So, achar shani lo echta, im yachta achar zulasi, mali im elokav, it's his business. The Rambam says three words that he says only this one occasion. Zeh, Hefech HaTorah. This is the opposite of Torah. To remain silent, to say, I'm simply going to stand by as a fellow Jew behaves in that way, is the opposite of Torah. So when Tochacha starts from the point, not, God forbid, of hatred, but of wanting to ensure that there is no fraternal hatred, Lo sisna es achicha b'vavecha, Hocheach tocheach es amisecha, to make sure that everybody is doing the right thing and being safe and being mekadei shem shamayim and taking care of all of their neighbors, the sukkah mamish, the family, the anane kavod, the Jewish people, the communities. And unfortunately, in all the places that I mentioned, they have hospitalizations and worse already. We have an obligation to speak up, and if we remain silent because we say, what business is it of ours? To that, the Rambam would respond, Zehefech HaTorah. There's some will say, why say anything? It's Lashon Hara. It's Lashon Hara. And the truth is, we have to be very careful about Lashon Hara. Social media is not the place for these things. And Lashon Hara is a very serious Avera. The Rambam says it's shakul kegimel chamuros. It's the equivalent of avodah zara and giloy arayos and shvichos damim all at the same time. But what is the appropriate definition of lashon hara in this situation? So again, all one has to do is to go back to the chumash. Lo seilech rachil be'amecha. We shouldn't be gossipers. We shouldn't be tattletales. But what's the next clause in the pasuk? Lo seilech rachil ba'amecha, lo sa'amod al dam re'echa. Do not stand idly by the blood of your neighbor. And as Chazal interpret it, not just by the blood, but if you see that somebody's going to suffer financial harm because they're going to be put in a situation where maybe they're not going to be able to make a parnasa to go to work. And so just like we would not allow a friend to get into a car with somebody who had been drinking, and just like we wouldn't allow our friends to go into a business partnership with somebody who is dishonest, So if we know that somebody's going to host a super spreading event indoors without masks, if somebody's going to make a simcha that has the potential to end in avelos, so of course we need to warn people, our friends, lo selech rachel b'amecha yas, lo sa'amod al damrei echa, that we are not allowed, it is not our right to remain silent. And you can trust your rabbanim, and you trust your educators, and you trust your doctors to behave professionally and discreetly, and to know the difference between false innuendo and rumor and a culture of tattletaling, which is not healthy, and being able to protect the community if individuals are unwilling to do the things that are necessary and to do the things that are responsible. We don't need to judge people in their entirety. If somebody had a drink, you wouldn't get in the car with them. You wouldn't say, this person has no good qualities, this person is a horrible individual. But you would say, this is very dangerous right now. I don't know his life story. Maybe he's drinking because he's having a terrible time. We don't judge people. That's for God. But in a very immediate and practical way, lo sa'amod al dam re'echa. The Ramban says something absolutely fantastic about the topic of lo sa'amod al dam re'echa. He says, you know, it's not just in reaction to situation. But lo sa'amod al dam re'echa, says the Ramban, is connected to a different lav in the Torah. And that lav is found in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshas Ki Tse'etze, that when a person builds a house, kisiv nebayis chadash, ve'asisa maka legagacha, ve'lo sasim damim ve'vesacha, ki yipol hanofel mimenu. A person builds a house, so we don't have to just react to dangerous situations, but we need to learn to prevent dangerous situations. We don't wait for the positivity rate to get to 5, 10, God forbid, higher than that percentage. We need to be vigilant. We know about the exponential growth that can happen. We know about how fast and how frightening the speed of the explosion of this virus can be. So lo sa'amod al dam re'echa, typically the Gemara describes that you see somebody who's in immediate danger. But lo sasim damim beveisacha means if you have a roof and somebody, he's not there right now, but he might be tomorrow or next week or next month. So we have to be vigilant. The Ramban says on the pasuk of lo sasim damim beveisacha is two opinions. One opinion, he says that this is an expansion of the lav of lo sa'amod al dam re'echa. We shouldn't just be reactive, but we need to be proactive. As all of our wonderful medical professionals have told us and have taught us since March about the only way of mitigating and containing what can be explosive and geometric growth is to ensure that we don't allow things to get out of control, because at that point it becomes something that we simply are really unable to manage, except with the most extreme measures, as we see going on in Eretz Yisrael right now, because unfortunately it did get out of control and it did get to that point. We should be trying as hard as we can not to be reactive, but to be proactive. The Rambam, in his discussion of Lo Sasim Damim Beisacha, uses some of the most important language that we can keep in mind when it comes to Dinei Nefashos, when it comes to matters of protecting life. The Rambam says in Hilchos Ritzeah, V'chein kol michshol, any stumbling block, be it a roof or a pit or a pandemic, sheyesh bo sakanas nefashos, mitzvas asei, we are enjoined by the Torah, lahasiro, to remove it, lihishamer mimenu, if we can't totally remove it, we don't have a vaccine or therapeutics just yet, to be very vigilant, ulihizoher bedavar yafe yafe, to be exceedingly vigilant in doing all of the things that our wonderful doctors are telling us to do to protect ourselves. Shenemar, hishamer lecha ushmar nafshecha. And the Rambam expands in Hilchos Shabbos on this very, very important idea. And the Rambam says, you know, when it comes to these matters of how we operate, let's say in the context of needing to violate Shabbos, you do it al pi rofei uman shel oso makom. You go to the relevant expert. So I'm not a physician. I could read all the articles I want online. I try to stay current. I speak to our infectious disease consultant. I speak to our epidemiologist. But we have to be very, very careful of the following thing happening. You know, this happens to rabbis also. Somebody reads an article online and they think that they know exactly how to paskin the shaila. And you think to yourself, it's a little bit more nuanced than that. And the same thing is true in this situation. We could all read all the articles we want, but if we're not the epidemiologists and infectious disease experts, we have to have the humility to defer to them because they know what they're talking about. They went to medical school and they went to their residency and they went to their fellowship and they've seen this for many, many, many years. And that's why the Rambam says that when it comes to all matters of halachic decision making, that impact and are impacted by medical realities, we do it al pi rofei uman shel oso makom. What we would say today, board certified quality medical expert in that particular discipline. And we don't have the audacity and the temerity to claim that because we saw an article here, an article there, that qualifies as a medical education that can compare to those who are responsibly guiding our community, as we're so proud to have here in the Joint Medical Committee for all of our schools and all of the wonderful work that they are doing. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Talmud Torah about the importance of Torah, not, God forbid, coming as a burden to the community. Of Torah ambassador Jews, whether they're modern Orthodox or centrist Orthodox or ultra-Orthodox, whether they're Hasidish, whether they're Misnag, it doesn't matter. So the Rambam says the following, and we could just imagine the Kal V'chomer to ourselves. The Rambam says, let's say you have an individual who says, I'm going to study Torah, and I'm going to let the community pay for it without asking them, without making an arrangement. We're not talking Yisachar Zvulun, where it was arranged beautifully in advance, but a person says to himself, Kol ha'meisim alibo sheyasuk b'Torah v'lo yaseh melacha v'yisparneis minat tzedakah. So the community will support me. So when a person takes Torah, takes a Torah lifestyle, and creates a burden on the community at large, the Rambam says about that, Harei zeh chilel es Hashem, it's a desecration of God's name, umivazeh es haTorah, and he denigrates Torah, umechabe or hadas, and he extinguishes the light of our religion, v'goreim ra'a la'atzmo v'notol chayev min ha'olam haba, and he causes terrible things for himself, and he loses his portion in the world to come. And this, my friends, is when a person creates a burden on the community as it relates to finances. What words would the Rambam say? We can't imagine if a Torah Jew would knowingly create a burden on the community in something even more important than finances, but in dinei nefashos, in health. Could one imagine stronger language than the Rambam used? Chilel es Hashem, umivaze es haTorah, mechabe or hadas, v'goreim ra la'atzmo, v'notel chayev min ha'olam. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, where we started, in Parakeh, Yesh dvarim acherim shehin b'chlal chilul Hashem. There are other things besides what the Rambam goes through there in that chapter that also fall under the category of chilul Hashem. V'hu sheyasa osam adol gadol b'Torah mefursam b'chasidus. And the more a person is affiliated with Torah, the greater the risk for chilul Hashem. Dvarim shabrios miranim acharav bishvilam. Something that causes human beings to look askance at Torah. So, but what are these heinous things that the Rambam lists? Kigon, shalakach, a person who buys an object, but he doesn't quite pay on time, he's not on time with his payments, ve'eno nosein t'mei hamakach la'alter, Oh, shediburo imabrios eno benachas, or he doesn't speak pleasantly with other people. Veino mekablim b'sever panim yafos. He's an unpleasant person. Elabal ketata v'kas, but the person is hostile, aggressive. These are forms of chol Hashem v'chayotzei v'armayelu akol if yigado shel chacham. Everything in accordance with how affiliated the person is with Torah. If being short-tempered, if not being the paragon of integrity in terms of paying on time, of creating these kinds of frictions with the broader community is a chil Hashem. So are there words to describe putting people's health at risk? The Gemara in Yuman Daf Pevav tells us that when a person is associated with Torah, it's a high-risk, high-reward proposition. It's an enormous risk, because if a person doesn't behave properly, then everybody's going to look at them and say, "Oy lo la'aviv shalimdo l'Torah, oy lo l'rabo shalimdo Torah." What a terrible lifestyle Torah is. You see how these people behave? Do you see the lack of regard that they have for other people, even for themselves? But on the contrary, the Gemara tells us what an enormous opportunity it is. Because if a person is benachas im habrios, and a person demonstrates integrity and responsibility and care and concern and affection, then everybody looks around and doesn't just say, "He's a nice guy," or "She's a nice lady." But everybody says how wonderful Torah is. Ashrei aviv shalimdo Torah. Ashrei rabo shalimdo Torah. High risk, high reward. We have the singular opportunity to be ambassadors of Torah. We have the singular opportunity through our conduct to be Mekadesh es Hashem and to live up to that cherished ideal, Asher Yasa Osam Ha'adam V'chai Bohem. We could be world leaders in terms of demonstrating what listening to the physicians and the experts is all about in this context, in terms of safely running our shuls and schools, and to bring glory to God's name and to Torah. This is the opportunity that is in front of us. Basukos teshu shivas yamim, kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu basukos. So for the sake of Sukkos Mamish, for the sake of our families and our loved ones, for the sake of the Anane Kavod, which ensconced the whole Jewish people, for the sake of our community and the Jewish community at large, but also for the sake of Sukkos David, Ki Besi Beis Tfila Yikarei L'chol Ha'amim, the Shivim Parei HaChag, for all Tzelem Elokim, let's live up to our responsibility to be a source of blessing for the entire world, and not, God forbid, to be leaders in positivity rates and new infections and hospitalizations and worse, but to be world leaders in bringing chayim, in bringing life, and in bringing hope to the world. I've said it so many times to you before, and with this I'll conclude. We can and must be vigilant in the short term, but we need not give in to the hysterics. We need not give in to the despair. Al tisyayish mina puranos. Our children, thank God, are doing beautifully. Their educators, to whom we are so indebted, are giving them such a wonderful, safe education right now, doing all of the things that they need to be doing. And our children are not going to be weaker for this. They're going to be stronger for it. I said it in Shabbos Shuva. The greatest generation that gave us this magnificent country, they were all raised under the Depression conditions, watching their mothers and fathers count pennies and nickels at the kitchen table. And that experience didn't ruin them, but that experience of hardship forged them and taught them what it meant to pitch in and to be responsible. And they stormed Omaha Beach and they came back and they built the greatest country in the world. And so if our children are being taught a lesson in responsibility, in perseverance, then we can rest assured that over the long term, they will be that much stronger for it. And we can be vigilant and appropriately concerned in the short term and profoundly, profoundly optimistic over the long term. These are not mutually exclusive emotions. Yehi ratzon, may it be Hashem's will that this holiday of Sukkos Mamish, of Anane Kavod, of Sukkos David, at all three levels reminds us of our responsibility to ourselves, to our community, to the Jewish people at large, but also to the entire world, to do that which is necessary at this moment, so that years and decades from now we'll be able to look back and they will say of us, Ashrei Aviv Shelimdo Torah, Ashrei Rabo Shelimdo Torah. Good Shabbos, good Yantif.